Turn that on. Is it on now? Sorry about that. Hi. Isn't it fun that we have the 11 o'clock this week after last week's snowstorm? So again, if you were here and we hadn't notified you, we are so sorry. Hope that you'll take advantage of our texting system. So we are now in week 3 of this series that is helping us become people who give freely. And I wanted to start today with an example of what we're doing here to help our friends in Rwanda. So how many of you have ever gone into the cafe and got a cup of coffee or tea or cocoa? Anybody here ever do that? You know what's exciting about this ministry is you don't realize the impact you're making on lives around the world. So when you buy a cup of coffee, we are able to pay a fair living wage to farmers in Rwanda by purchasing their coffee beans, and that changes their lives. It's all through an organization called Land of a Thousand Hills, and in addition to helping farmers, they also are able to care for orphans and to give microloans to widows, and they really are helping us to live out the gospel. So that's every time you buy a cup of coffee, tea, a banana. But there's other things that we're doing that you may not realize also are impacting people around the world. One of them is if you buy the bag coffee there, you're actually providing clean water through Land of a Thousand Hills. And then finally, we have a picture up here. If you've ever given a tip, you've given a little extra money over there, what happens to that is we take all that money together and we send it out to Land of a Thousand Hills, specifically for the Sheep Project, which allows families in Rwanda to start a home business that mom and dad can do together. And you know, Chuck has a video that we'll put on Facebook this week that shows there's a drought there right now. And these farmers that are taking care of the sheep are actually having to bottle feed them. But these sheep are changing the lives of their families. It allows them to have health insurance. The dad right there in the yellow shirt, he has 2 little girls. And he said, this is changing their lives. And so you might not realize that you're already giving freely. And I wanted you to be aware that Harbor, we're making such a big difference. Last year, our little church, Harbor of Hope, we paid half of a year's salary for a farmer in Rwanda by buying coffee and doing good. So that's a pretty exciting thing. And that's all we're going to talk about today is what does it look like for us to be people who are generous with the resources that God has put in our hands. And in case I wasn't clear about this, our cafe exists because our high school students and their families, led by Amy and Chuck Cheney, give of their time and talent every week to make that happen. So if you've ever been there before, be sure to thank them. We're so excited that they took this ministry on, made it their own, and they're doing a fantastic job with it. So this is the series we're in. Don't say beep in church, right? And so what is that beep? Each of those little symbols simply represents a summary of the messages we're sharing. That first little money sign, Mike preached on that week 1, and he said, you know, when money is in its rightful place, when we realize God is the ultimate owner and the ultimate giver, we're able to keep our heart not after the treasures of this world, but after the kingdom of God. Last week, I shared with you the little thing that we might see as a hashtag, right? Hashtag be content. But really, it's the magic number sign. And we talked a little bit about what is that magic number? What's that number for you that would change everything? And the truth is there's never enough. There's always more that we can buy and use our money on. And so we talked about what debt could be if it was redeemed and those 4 letters of D-E-P-T. The D was for discern. Can you jump into a group of people who are going to speak wisdom into your life and help you make those hard choices? The E is simply enough. It is believing that limits are a gift from God. Do you believe that today? And the BT together stand for be thankful. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Another version says is great wealth. And that's what we want to be as a community. We want to be thankful. And so today I get to move on to the next little symbol, and that's the percentage sign. And this is sort of the summary for today. It's a prayer I learned up at Manchester Christian Church about a year ago, and it's very simple. What percentage of your income is generous to invest in the kingdom of God? And so that's what we're going to be talking through today. What percentage of our income is generous to invest in the kingdom of God? And so as we go forward, I hope that as you're leaving, you'll be able to realize that Harbor, our goal is to be a community that helps people find their way back to God so that we can live fully and love deeply and give freely. Because we know that God doesn't need our money. He created the world by speaking. He's inviting us to be part of what he's doing on this earth because he's for our joy. So as we leave today, we realize that what we're doing with our resources, investing them in the kingdom of God, it leads to joy. And so our question again, our prayer, Lord, what percentage of my income is generous to invest in your kingdom? I grew up in a church not too far from here, and we learned at least once every 6 weeks that we were stewards of the resources God had put into our hands. And so from the time I was a young child, I knew that every time I made a dollar, I was going to give God back the first 10%. It was something that my pastor preached on a lot. It comes from the book of Malachi, which is in the Old Testament. I want to look at it with you today. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. And this first sentence is so key. God says, I, the Lord, do not change. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I do not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. And so if you've never heard this passage before, that word tithe might be a little confusing, and it simply means 10%. And some people think, well, that's an Old Testament passage, but Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 23. He's speaking to the Pharisees. And sometimes we hear that word and we think of it in sort of a negative way, but what they were trying to do is protect the law that God had put into the hands of the Israelites. For decades and centuries, they were trying to remind each other of what God had said. And when Jesus speaks to them, he says this. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisee, you hypocrites." Have you heard that word before, hypocrite? It simply means actor. And in honesty, aren't we all at sometimes? People come up to you and you're having a hard week. How are you? Fine, right? Acting. Jesus said to them, "You give a tenth of your spices, you give a tenth of your mint and your dill and your cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." But look what Jesus says next. "You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." See, Jesus reminds us what God says. "I have shown you, O man, what is good, to act justly and love mercy and walk humbly before your God." But at the same time, God has put these rules of the universe in place. And one of them is we are to honor God first, not money. And by giving back to him what he's already put in our hands, we are able to be reminded weekly that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If we wait until the end of the month and there's some leftover and we give it to God, that is not faith. And faith is what pleases God. So we're going to talk about this today because it's important to tell the truth in church, right? We're going to talk about what Jesus said, and we're not going to make it hard. So every week so far, we've said the same thing. We've said, when we come into church, we just want to be able to simply say the word money without it being weird. So you ready on the count of three? One, two, three. Money. Not hard. But I don't want that to be the word you leave here today remembering. I want you to remember this truth, that God made you and he loves you. So would you look in the eye of someone near you, and would you tell them that Jesus loves them? See, that is the starting point. We give because God has freely given to us. When we know to the core of who we are, how very loved we are by Jesus, we just keep all of the resources, our time, our talent, our treasure, as Allie said, with just open hands. Lord, there's yours. I just want to give them back to you. So as I said, ever since I was young, I've heard this message of tithing, and I have freely given to God the first 10% of what he's put into my hands. But it was a year ago almost that I was at Manchester Christian Church when Bo preached this message. And I realized, for some reason, I had thought 10% was the end. I don't know if any of you have ever realized that. Like, God can ask you to give all to him because he's the ultimate owner and the ultimate giver. We will never regret anything we invest in the kingdom of God. I was just surprised that, having been in the Word, that was something that had never really spoke to me, and God gently spoke a word over my heart. Kelly, invest a little more into the kingdom of God. And so that's why I'm excited to share it with you. I know that God is good. And I know he is for us and he loves us. And that's why I'm excited to share this message today. So Lord, this is our prayer today as a community. What percentage of our income is generous to invest in the kingdom of God? And when I realized this was a growth area for me, I began to grow and take steps of faith that allows me to be someone who not only lives fully and loves deeply, but gives freely. So how do we do that? How do we take those steps of faith that allow us to grow? Well, one of my favorite pastors is a pastor down in Georgia named Andy Stanley, and he wrote a book called How to Be Rich. And the emphasis is on the word be, because as he said, most of us got rich a long time ago, and no one told us. See, when was the last time you thought, how am I going to eat today? How am I going to have enough clothes today? See, our friends in Rwanda, those sheep are changing their lives. They're able to care for their family because of coins that we gave away after we bought some coffee. Do we realize today that we are rich, and have we asked God, would you help us to not only be thankful, but help us to be rich? See, when Jesus was here, he shared this amazing prayer with the people of Israel. He said they could boldly ask a question that around the world today, people are sincerely asking God to do. He said you could ask Abba, Daddy, Father God, give us this day our daily bread. And I've shared with you before, I grew up and we didn't have a lot of money, but I've never had no food. And though my clothes may not have fit quite right or been in style, I've always had something to wear. And therefore, I've always been rich. Have I known what to do with that? See, God has always provided, but you know what happens? I forget. You and I are often how God provides. See, that was the beauty of the blank at the valley. We had things in our home or a little extra money to run somewhere and grab something, and we were able to be the hands and feet of Jesus to Living Water and to the Wish Project this week. When we go, when we buy a coffee here, we are the hands and feet of Jesus to a farmer in Rwanda we will never meet. And so that's why we do these things. We want to do what God has asked us to do, to be a community that lives fully and loves deeply and gives freely. Andy said the second reason he wrote the book was not only that people didn't know how to be rich, they didn't realize they were rich. Secondly, he said, while he studied scripture, he saw that a lot of Christians were not very good at being rich. And it dawned on him, it's probably because no one has taught them how. And so, Harper, that's why we want to teach on this. We think it's important for all of us to understand money and giving, treasure, all of it belongs to God. So last week we looked at 1 Timothy 6, and today we're going to look at it a little bit more. If you don't have a Bible, we would love for you to take one home. There are the blue books in the back, but we'll also put the verse on the screen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And in this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. The things of this world are not truly life. And as you looked at it, were you startled as I was that these are not suggestions? Paul said to Timothy, the young pastor that he was helping to mentor, command those in your community. Look at some of these commands. Don't be arrogant. Don't put your hope in wealth. Put your hope in God. Realize he provides everything. Paul said, Timothy, command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds. Harper, last week I shared with you from Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message that reminds us of God's great love for us and that he is after our joy. He wants us to take these treasures that have been put in our hands and not let them be wasted, not let moth and rust destroy them, not let thieves break in and steal. That's what Jesus said happens to the things of this earth that we invest in, but it does not happen to the things in the kingdom of God that we invest in. And we invest in what God has asked us to invest in, not because God needs our money. He spoke and the world came to be. He does not need our money. He is inviting us to be part of what he is doing here on earth. So what does percentage-based giving look like? You know, I'm one of those people that love to shop, right? And so Kohl's is one of my favorite places because they send you a little catalog and you get to peel the corner back and see the percentage that you get off. And if I get 30%, I'm pretty excited. I might make a trip to Kohl's. But if it's only 15%, I'm probably not going to be there. It's one of the reasons I love to coupon. I love at the end of my little shopping trip to say, yay, I saved 80 or 90%. There's percentages that you and I value, and there are percentages that we think are not worth very much, right? And so what I thought was funny is when they preached this up at Manchester Christian Church, the pastor came out and he talked about getting an incredible deal, 10% off. And so when we think of that in that lens, sometimes it doesn't seem like very much. And then when we preach it at church, 10%. Oh my goodness, it seems like so much, doesn't it? What we're called to do is we're called to say, Lord, I want my heart to be excited to give back to you what you've put in my hands. And you know, the truth is we're all giving a percentage of God. We were created on purpose for a purpose. You were. And I look out here over these three services and I see people who are investing their lives in things that God cares so very much about. And all of us are giving a percentage. Someone might ask you to give something and you have. You may be giving 1 or 5 or 8 or 10. I love hearing how Warren Buffett lives on just a little percentage of what he has. Now I know you're saying he's Warren Buffett. I could live on that little bit too. But you know what? There are people who've made a lot of money in this life and they are not choosing to say this is enough. So what are we called to do? We're called to ask God, Lord, what percentage of my income is generous to give, and give me the courage to invest it in your kingdom. So what are some of the steps to getting there? Have you ever thought first of even saying this simple prayer? I never had until that night, and I felt God speak so clearly to me. So what is generous for you to invest in the kingdom? I've mentioned this a few times. I want to look at it with you. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. This is Jesus, and he's speaking to you and me today just as clearly as he was speaking to his friends when he said this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Do you believe God is for your joy? That he wants you to take these treasures and invest them in what will last for eternity? See, we know this is true. We have all bought things, saved up for things that later we brought to the dump or they just broke. When I was a little bit halfway through college, I went and bought a car with my dad, and neither of us knew anything about cars. And we went to a used car salesman, and he sold me a car that only made it down the road and died. And they did not give me my money back. I had spent a whole semester out of college saving for this really cute on the outside but didn't work on the inside car. And all of that money was gone. All that money was not invested in something that would last. Now, you might not have as dramatic a story as that, but you have something that you saved up for and you knew as soon as I get this, it's going to last forever. And something happened. It broke. It was destroyed. Someone took it. It just wasn't what you thought it was going to be. See, I love living in Merrimack, New Hampshire. That's where I live. I'm from Lowell. There's this cool thing. There is the dump there. Do any of you live near a dump? It's so fun because you can go home and clean and then put everything in your car and take it there. That's not how it was when I was growing up in Lowell. You had to wait, and on a snow week, you had to wait another day. But when I go to the dump, I think about that. How much investment have people put into those things we're now tossing into the landfill or tossing into a recycling place? Those things no longer have any value. And Jesus is saying, I don't want that for you. I don't want you to work and toil for things that will have no value. I want you to invest in the kingdom that lasts forever. And so our very first step is simply this prayer. Lord, what percentage of my income is generous to invest in your kingdom? A second step is simply to establish a plan. What does your budget look like? If you don't have a budget, I want you to know we're going to be offering financial peace, and we'd be happy to walk you through some of these steps that maybe no one has shown you before. But when you have a budget, have you ever thought about giving to God first? See, that's what this first fruits understanding of the tithe is. It's not just any of the $10 from the $100 that you earned. It's that first. It's that first saying, God, I'm going to trust you. And the reason I love to preach this is I saw this change my husband. We've been married for 21 years. I grew up in a church, as I said, where stewardship was part of who we were, and he grew up in a different way. And so as we walked along in marriage, we began to understand this through Bible studies and small groups, and particularly a series by a pastor in Texas named Robert Morris. It was called The Blessed Life. You might know his worship leader, Carrie Job, and the Revelation song. And he taught us that God's desire is that we would be able to say, Lord, here's the resources you've given me. I'm going to give to you first. And there are blessings attached to it, but most of it is a step of faith. And you know what happened to my husband as he began to take these steps of faith? The burden that was on his shoulders to provide everything my family needed began to lift because he began to trust in the actual provider for our family. And that is what I want for you. I want your peace and I want your joy. And that is why I know that when we believe what God has said and we do it, God gives us joy, and giving freely leads to joy. So I have three daughters, and as they've grown, this is a message I feel is very important for them to understand. I want them to invest their time and their talent and their treasure into the kingdom of God. I want their identity to be they are who God says they are. And do you know where I've seen this matter? As they've grown up and friends groups change, and if you have teenage daughters, friend groups change, it did not matter what people around them said, they knew they were who God said they were. And they took the time they had on the weekend, they invested in Kids Harbor and into the lives of other children. And you know what we're seeing now? We're seeing another generation, I've only been here 5 years, we're seeing another generation saying, I want to serve, I want to lead. I have little fourth graders, my sweet little Ella comes in on Saturday nights, and she spends the week looking at Pinterest to come up with a craft that the little kids, just a couple years younger than her, will want to do. She wants to take her time and her talent and her treasure and invest it in the kingdom of God. And that is what we are called to be as a community. So maybe you've never heard this message before, and that's why we want to teach it. We want to make sure that if you do not know this word, we want you to grab scripture, join a group, and begin to give freely for your own joy. But maybe you've heard this before, and it's just something you don't agree with. And that's okay. That's why we're asking you to pray and ask God, God, what percentage is generous for me? Ask God, and then ask for the courage. And then do what he says. Give to him first. I've told my girls to do this for one reason. I want them to long for the kingdom of God to increase. And as I shared this message last week, they were sitting outside on a Saturday night. We went to dinner after and shared through the message together. And my oldest daughter said, Mom, it's like the Walt Whitman poem. The kingdom of God is advancing, and I get to contribute a verse. See, you were created on purpose for a purpose. You get to contribute a verse into the kingdom of God. You will never look back and say, I wish I had used my time, talent, and treasure in anything else. The way you will be so thankful that God allowed you to contribute a verse. And Andy said when he wrote this book, How to Be Rich, he wrote it because he wants us to guard against the side effect of wealth. Did you ever think of that? That there are side effects to having wealth? See, one of the side effects is we no longer depend on Jesus when we can do it in our own strength. That's not what God intended. So if you don't want to be overcome and have the love of money ruling your life instead of God having that rightful first place, then percentage-based giving is the first place to start. It's a reflection of whether we have control over our money or whether our money has control over us. See, in the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus was here, he's teaching us what God feels is most important, and number one is the kingdom of God. But second to that, Jesus spoke about money, and one of the beautiful stories, he was at the temple, and he watched the woman put two mites in, worth less than two pennies, and he pointed her out for her generosity, not the value of those two mites, but that was all she had, and she invested it in the kingdom of God, and it was noticed. That's why Jesus shares with us what we might miss with eyes that see this world almost in an upside-down way from the upside-down kingdom, right? Where those who are sad will be comforted by God, and Jesus says that's blessing. See, God wants us to understand his great love. He wants us to know that he's our provider. He wants us to know that we are his hands and his feet, and we help people find their way back to him. So ask God, what percentage should I give? And if you're not sure where to start, I'm making a bold claim here today. I'm saying ask God by faith to invest 10% of what resources he's put in your hands into his kingdom. Now, Andy Stanley says in The Courage to Be Rich, some people don't like to hear this. And he says, it sounds extremely uncomfortable, but so is a colonoscopy. And you know what? Those save lives. It depends on how badly you want to protect yourself from the side effect of wealth. Do you want to protect yourself from loving anything more than God? Now again, remember, we are not giving to be good. God could not love you any more than he already does. We are giving because we understand the great love of God, and as a response to that, we want to invest in the things that he cares about. It is a preventative step to keep the love of money from ruling in our hearts when we invest first in the kingdom of God. I want to say that one more time. Giving is a preventative step to keep the love of money from ruling in our hearts. We do not want anything to take first place. That is intended for God alone. So the most important step as we take a step away from here today is just to start somewhere. Everyone needs a plan. What is yours going to look like? Do you want to keep yourself from loving the things of this world more than the kingdom of God? Then ask God, what percentage is generous for me to give? And then have the courage and the faith to take that powerful step. And I hope each week as you return and you look at the cafe, you remember that you were created to invest in the kingdom of God in a manner that only you can do. See, I love that Chuck and Amy, as young parents, say we're going to take our time and we're going to invest in the children and the youth of Harbor, and we're going to help these farmers that we'll never meet by providing a cafe. You may have been here a few months ago when the cafe wasn't open. It's open today because students and their families decide to invest their time every weekend here. God is calling us to be generous and to make it a priority. And when we do, when we live fully and love deeply and give freely, people see it. And it draws people back to God. A few years ago, I read a book that said, the man in the book, I believe it was Bruce Wilkinson, said he started carrying money in his pocket. And he did it specifically so that God could whisper in a gentle voice to give it away. And so I remember the first time I did it, I had $40 in my pocket, which may be a lot of money to some of you and no money at all to others, but it was money to me. But I knew God was calling me to do it, and I didn't have a specific need for it. So as I walked around, I tried to listen to the gentle whisper of God, and I came to my daughter's piano teacher. And I said, this is kind of weird, but I feel like God is asking me to give you this money. And she had not told anyone, but her deepest wish as a piano teacher was to see Michael W. Smith. He was coming to the Lowell Auditorium, and she did not have a penny to do it. And God provided for her. And can I tell you, I don't know how many trips I've taken to Target and spent $40 on stuff that I don't even know what it was. Or I've gone out to dinner because I didn't have the time or didn't feel like making dinner. But I remember that moment because she knew how much God loved her. She was able to do this thing that the secret cry of her heart was crying out to God. I would love as a piano teacher to see this man worship you. See, that's what God wants us to do. You know how much joy it brings me to remember the joy she had? That's what he wants our resources to be, something that brings joy to our life. And we can ask him, Lord, would you show me? Would you show me how to be generous? Maybe it's something as simple as buying someone a cup of coffee in the name of Jesus and letting them know they're loved. Maybe it's as simple as these past few weeks when you found coats and blankets that somebody else needed and you shared them. Just this week, I've had two people who had babies say, can I give you their clothes for somebody else? See, we can do that as a church. We can care for one another. That's what God intended us to do. And if you hear these words, please hear that we are not asking you to take these steps so God will love you more. Know this, he loves you completely. Giving freely is only possible when we believe that there is nothing we can do that ever comes close to what Jesus did for us. Look at with me at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. What does that look like for you? It looks different for all of us. We were created on purpose for a purpose, but they're different. And that's what's so beautiful about the body of Christ. But when you give, lives change. When you look at 1 John 3:16, it says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need and has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, that's what he calls us. God calls you his loved child. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and with truth. And so when you take everything Jesus has taught through the Gospels, I think when he talks about being generous, we can sort of distill it down to these three points. Pray and seek first the kingdom of God. We can ask God this simple prayer, what is a generous percentage for me to invest in your kingdom? And we can ask God for lasting change to happen in our hearts so that we can be people who live fully, love deeply, and we give freely. We are generous. And you know what happens in life? Our income changes, doesn't it? And we need to be remembering all the time, Lord, if we are continuing to grow in our income, our giving should become progressive as well. As your financial situation changes, God might be asking you to take another step of faith today. Because if that initial first giving of 1 or 2 or 5 or 10 or 80% becomes comfortable, and we begin to rely on our own strength, we're no longer taking those steps of faith. So over and over again, we're going to be asking these prayers, not because Mike or John or I ask you to do it, but because we want to learn to listen to God and then to have the courage to do what he says, because he knows that joy comes when we give freely. Giving freely has eternal impact. As I began to research for this message, I came across an article about how this church came to be. I don't know if you know the whole story. I didn't know the whole story. Brent Storms was the pastor who planted Harbor of Hope. And in 1996, he was at Gordon Conwell Seminary, and there was a church in Bedford, Mass. Named Bedford Christian Church. And they were considering closing their doors. Vi's here today, so it's a bit overwhelming for me to read this. And that church was there realizing that a church had been planted in Nashua, New Hampshire called Crossway Christian Church. And there were 30 to 40 faithful followers meeting there, and there was no financial need. They had enough to take care of themselves, but they began to sense a longing to help other people find their way back to God. So they asked Brent, would you come and be our interim pastor for 2 years and help us to close? Glenn Barton was one of the pastors there. His wife, Kitty, is still part of our community. And he was an elder there, and he stood up in front of this community who needed a congregational vote to change the bylaws. And Brent said it was so hard, but he did it. He loved this church. He poured his heart into it as only a pastor could, but he reminded these people that we are here for the kingdom of God to advance. And so that church sold its building to the Korean Presbyterian Church, and they gave away 20% of their resources to missions, and they took the rest. And they held a memorial service for Bedford Christian Church, and a year later, Harbor of Hope Christian Church, with Brent Storms leading it, opened its doors in downtown Lowell. And I don't know if you know this, but from day one, we have been a church who has wanted to go and help more and more people find their way back to God by being a church with multiple locations. And so Harbor has already done this. They helped open Discovery Christian Church in Pittsburgh and the Cambodian Christian Church in Lowell. See, this isn't a story of giving just a little. This was a story of giving it all. The only church they had known where their friends were. And they said, we're going to be so generous. We're going to invest in the kingdom of God so that you and me and our friends who call this place home can be here today. It's incredible generosity. Giving has an eternal impact. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 to 26, Jesus was talking to his friends, the disciples. And he said to them, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me take the lead. That's what Brent and Glenn did that day. They let Jesus take the lead. Jesus said, you're not in the driver's seat, I am. So as we leave today, as we have that quiet time at communion, would you pray and ask God, what percentage is generous for me to invest in your kingdom? And if you don't know, take a bold step of faith, invest 10%. But make it a priority, whatever number it is. Even if it's not easy, faith is not easy. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Invest in the kingdom of God, and that looks different for all of us. I look out and I see some of you, and you are investing in the kingdom of God. But if you call Harbor home, we're inviting you to join us. Invest your time and your talent and your treasure so we can help people find their way back to God. And some of you are sitting here today, and God is gently nudging you to him. He's beginning to draw you to him in his incredible great love, and I want you to know that the pastors here, the elders here, we would love to sit with you and help you learn about this great love that Jesus has for you. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, this is what Jesus says. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. It's my way to finding yourself, your true self. You were created on purpose for a purpose. Invest your time and talent and treasures wherever it is that God has asked you to invest them. But know there's nothing you can do that will make him love you more. Giving freely is just our response to his great love. He does not love us because we give. We give because we recognize the great love of Jesus. So I want to end today with those same words from 1 John that we began our day with today. I want them to wash over you. I want you to believe them. I want you to believe the words someone just said to your eye a moment ago. Jesus loves you. And then in the quiet of today, sit and ask God what your next step is. So as we look at these verses, maybe this week a step for you is to actually open the scriptures. 1 John is at the end of the Bible. 5 pages total for 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, but so full of truth because they were written by Jesus' friend, his disciple John. And you know what John called himself? The disciple that Jesus loved. Do you know that is who you are today? You are the disciple Jesus loves. And so he wrote these words, and if we can just read them and believe them, I want to tell you what I've been doing lately. I have the Bible app on my phone, and I get up in the morning, and I bring up 1 John 3, and I press play, and I listen to the word of God, and it's overwhelming me, and it's changing me. So listen now as I read it over you. 1 John 3:3, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. And this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Today, your first step might be to believe the love of God. Another step might be to take a very small, simple step of faith and pray that bold prayer. And then ask God to give you the courage and the faith to do it. Joy comes when we give freely. So let's go out this week and be a community who is helping other people find their way back to him by giving freely of what God has given to us. Let us look like Jesus. And it ends with this verse, verse 18. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we are thankful that we can be in this place. We recognize that Harbor exists because people who came before us gave all their time, their talent, their treasure. They poured into your kingdom that it would advance and they got to contribute a verse. And Lord, that's our prayer now, that for this season we would contribute a verse. Help us to believe we are created on purpose for a purpose. Give us the courage to take the steps of faith that you want us to take. Lord, help us to believe that limits are a gift from you. We can say no to the things that were never intended for us in order to do what it is that you created us to do. And Lord, I pray that we would believe with all of who we are how very great the Father's love is for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.